This week's parsha is Parshat Miketz. The parsha begins, it was at the end of 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream, and that dream will ultimately take Joseph out of jail, as he will be summoned to interpret that dream. Our sages say, why does the Torah stress after 2 years? To tell us that those 2 years that Yosef was in prison, when the butler had gotten out of prison, it wasn't that Yosef was in prison for 2 years. In fact, Yosef was in prison for much longer. It was 2 years after Yosef had interpreted the butler's dream. And the Torah is teaching us that those 2 years were a direct result of Yosef's telling the butler, just remember me when you get out and help me get out of here. And so the question, the begging question is, what was wrong with what Yosef said? Why shouldn't he tell the butler, remember me? So our sages say, the Chazon Ish actually, in this book, Emunah U'Bitachon, the Chazon Ish says, of course you have to make every attempt to alleviate your situation. But when you make those attempts, you have to remember there are always other possibilities. Hashem is running the show, and as we see with Yosef, ultimately he made it out without the butler, in spite of the butler's hatred, in spite of the fact that the butler stuck in a bunch of anti-Semitic slurs describing Joseph as that lad. He was once a servant. You won't find him to be that enthralling or intelligent, but he did interpret my dream correctly. So the butler is scared for his own hide. In case Pharaoh ever hears that he could have helped him, the butler better tell Pharaoh that there's a great dream interpreter in the prison. But on the other hand, he sticks in every bad word against Yosef, and nonetheless, this is Yosef's road to becoming the viceroy of Egypt. So, when Yosef tells the butler, explains the Chazon Ish, when Yosef tells the butler, you just have to remember me when you get out of here, ki im zichartani, if you only remember me, what Yosef says to the butler is, I have no hope if you don't get me out of here. I don't deserve to be here. Those words, I have no hope, that Yosef indicated when he said, ki im zichartani, if you only remember me, that's my only hope. What do you mean that's not your only hope? And so that is why Yosef was punished. That's what our sages say. Vayhi miketz shenatayim yamim. It was at the conclusion of 2 years, 2 years after that long period that Yosef was in prison. Pharaoh has a dream, and he awakens, and he cannot remember his dream. He cannot remember, he remembers the dream, he can't remember the interpretation. So he calls in his advisors, and they tell him, you dreamt, you're going to have 7 daughters, and they're going to die, you're going to fight 7 wars, and you're going to lose. And in his dream, he saw an interpretation, and none of those interpretations were right. And he was very upset, so he let word be known that he wanted desperately to find an interpretation. And so the butler comes forth, and he says, I'm sorry to mention it. There was once a time when you were very upset at me, and you put me in the pit. And there was this lad, and he's a Hebrew. You know, we don't like Hebrews in our part of the world. They eat our God. They eat the cow. He is a slave. And he happened to get it right. So Pharaoh says, bring him here. So they rush Yosef out of the pit. They give him a haircut. They change his clothes. And they rush him to stand before Pharaoh. Our sages say, why was he rushed? So the Kutzker Rebbe has a beautiful vort on this. He says, when in heaven they decide that a person has a challenge, they decide until what split second he will have his challenge. And when that second is over, then things change. So in heaven it was decided Yosef should be he should be a fugitive. He should be in prison until that moment. Once that moment was over, that's why in heaven they had the Egyptians rush Yosef out of the pit, and they get him quickly with a haircut and fine clothing to stand before Pharaoh. Our sages say that in prison the angel Gabriel came and taught Yosef all 70 languages. When a person would approach Pharaoh, he would be tested on which languages he knew. And for every language that he knew, he would ascend another step to Pharaoh's throne. And so Yosef kept speaking language after language as he ascended the throne. And as he ascends till he gets to the top, and he says, gee, there's a step missing here. There's one more language. So he looks at Pharaoh and says, we haven't yet spoken Hebrew. And he starts talking to Pharaoh in Hebrew, and Pharaoh doesn't know Hebrew. Now, in the Egyptian law, you could only be king if you knew the most languages in town. So Pharaoh isn't too happy. This young man has come up all those steps, and now he's standing face to face with Pharaoh. So Pharaoh asks him, he says, I had a dream, I'm standing by the edge of the river, and I see seven cows, healthy cows, they come and they graze, and then seven cows that are, they look emaciated, they come out of the waters and they eat the healthy cows, and you couldn't tell that they had eaten anything, they seemed as emaciated in the beginning, as in the beginning. And then I awoke, and then I had another dream, and I saw seven stalks that were full, and then seven thin stalks came up and covered the thick stalks, and they swallowed them up, and I said to the sorcerers, no one could interpret it. And Yosef says, your dream is really giving the same message. God is revealing to you that 7 years, 7 years. Yaakov connects seven with seven, right? Because in Yaakov's mind, his father worked 7 years for Rachel and 7 years for Leah. So seven to him is naturally going to be 7 years. That's, you know, Paro's sorcerers, they think seven must be seven daughters. Cows must represent your daughters. Seven must be seven wars. To Yosef, it's obvious. It's 7 years. Our sages say, dreams go after the interpretation. Yosef had control how he would interpret the dreams. Yosef didn't have to interpret it this way. The one who interprets the dream has control on how to interpret it. Rashi and Tosfos have a discussion. Does that mean anyone can interpret the dreams, or only unique people are given that power? But whichever way you go, bottom line, a dream doesn't have a definitive definition in heaven. A dream has potential for definition, and it's up to you to get it. So Yosef interprets it this way. And Pharaoh says, you got it right. Yosef tells him, you're going to have 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And the 7 years of famine will wipe out the 7 years of plenty. So I recommend you set up someone real smart to prepare for all of that. Now, when Yosef interprets the dream, he changes some of what Pharaoh described in his dream. And the verses indicate that Yosef got it right, that Pharaoh purposely changed some of how he described the dream. And in fact, Yosef changed it back to get it right. And that's why Pharaoh says to his men, this man is godly. It's as though he was standing next to me there in the dream, because he corrected me on points in the dream. So they decide Yosef should be appointed in Egypt. But what's the problem? There are rumors about this Yosef. So they change his name to Tzofnat Paneach. And they call in Potiphar and they say, you once had a claim against this young man, right? You no longer have a claim against this young man, right? Potiphar says, of course, your majesty, of course, right? And so as a sign that you don't have any claims on him, you are happy to let him marry your daughter, right, Potiphar? Potiphar says, of course, your majesty, of course I'll be happy to let him marry my daughter. And so, in fact, our tradition is that she was the adopted daughter. And so when Yosef was serving in Potiphar's house, Yosef knew her very well. She was his niece. She was the daughter of Dinah from the story of Shechem. And so Yosef is actually marrying the one Jewish girl in Egypt. Our sages give us a broader story as to what happened. Yosef was sent out to tour Egypt. Banot Tzadah Leishul, in the blessings of Jacob, he describes how the girls were standing and dancing on the walls around Egypt, saying, oh, I hear he's a bachelor. He's the new king in 1 second. So let him get a good look at me. And they all threw down flowers and necklaces and all kinds of gifts at him so that he'd hopefully maybe marry them. And there was one girl there who didn't have anything to throw aside from the locket she was wearing. This was the locket that her grandfather had placed upon her. And this was the girl of Dinah that Yaakov had taken down to Egypt and put in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was a eunuch. This was a safe house. He wouldn't touch her. And Potiphar's wife brought her up like her own daughter. And so this girl had a locket, and in that locket was Jacob's letter describing who she was, describing to her. And she sees Yosef down there, and she tosses it, and it falls on his lap, and he sees that locket. And he picks it up, and he sees his father's writing, and he reads the story and tells the guy, stop the chariot. Who's the girl that threw that locket? And then he summons the girl and he marries her, and that is going to be one of the greatest women of Jewish history. Osnat. Osnat.
The mother is Dinah.
The mother is Dina.
Judgment.
What?
Judgment.
Yeah. There's a lot to say, but we're out of time. It's a very interesting concept. Yes.